the voice of one crying the wilderness. Prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. The voice of one crying the wilderness. Prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. The voice of one crying the wilderness.
Greetings from Zion. You're listening to a message by Pastor Ita of God's Lighthouse. As you listen, we pray you receive eyes to see, ears to hear, and an understanding heart. Remember, test all things and hold fast to what is good. For more information, visit our website at gods-lighthouse.org.
Amen. Okay. Let me give you the first mini sermon. Isaiah chapter 3, verse 13. The Lord stands up to plead and stands to judge the people. The Lord will enter into judgment with the elders of his people and his princes. For you have eaten up the vineyard. The plunder of the poor is in your houses. What do you mean by crushing my people and grinding the faces of the poor? Says the Lord God of hosts. Moreover, the Lord says, because the daughters of Zion are haughty and walk with outstretched necks and wanton eyes, walking and mincing as they go, making a jingling with their feet. Therefore, the Lord will strike with a scab the crown of the head of the daughters of Zion, and the Lord will uncover their secret parts. In that day, the Lord will take away the finery, the jingling anklets, the scarves and the crescents, the pendants, the bracelets and the bells, the headdresses, the leg ornaments and the headbands, the perfume boxes, the charms and the rings, the nose jewels, the festal apparel and the mantles, the outer garments, the purses and the mirrors, the fine linen, the turbans and the robes. And so it shall be, instead of a sweet smell, there will be a stench, instead of a sash, that's a belt, a rope, instead of well-set hair, baldness, instead of a rich robe, a girding of sackcloth, and branding instead of beauty. Your men shall fall by the sword, and your mighty in the war. Her gates shall lament and mourn, and she, being desolate, shall sit on the ground. I'm stepping back to chapter 2, verse 12. From verse 10. Enter into the rock and hide in the dust from the terror of the Lord and the glory of his majesty. The lofty looks of man shall be humbled. The haughtiness of men shall be bowed down. And the Lord alone shall be exalted in that day. For the day of the Lord of hosts shall come upon everything proud and lofty, upon everything lifted up, and it shall be brought low, upon all the cedars of Lebanon that are high and lifted up, and upon all the oaks of Bashan, upon all the high mountains, and upon all the hills that are lifted up, upon every high tower, and upon every fortified wall, upon all the ships of Tarshish, and upon all the beautiful sloops. And the loftiness of man shall be bowed down, and the haughtiness of man will be brought low. And the Lord alone will be exalted in that day, but the idols he shall utterly abolish. They shall go into the holes of the rocks, and into the caves of the earth, and the glory of his majesty, when he arises to shake the earth mightily. In that day, a man will cast away his idols of silver and his idols of gold, which they made each for himself to worship, to the moles and bats, to go into the clefts of the rocks and into the crags of the rugged rocks, from the terror of the Lord and the glory of his majesty, when he arises to shake the earth mightily. Sever yourself from such a man, whose breath is in his nostrils, for of what account is he? A few comments from chapter 3, verse 13 down. The Lord says he will stand up to plead and to judge the people. What's the matter on the table? The matter is that they have eaten up the vineyard. They plunder of the poor is in their houses. Simply, a major reason for the judgment of the Lord that will come is oppression of the poor. The plunder of the poor is in their houses. They plundered, not an enemy, they plundered the poor. Plunder is what you get, spoils of war, booty, all those are names for the things won after a battle, after a meeting of opposing sides. You walk away with spoils. It is possible to fight and not to take plunder. When the children of Israel, under the reign of Ahasuerus, the husband of Queen Esther, defended themselves against their enemies, they did not take plunder. They just defended themselves and slew, killed their enemies, those who sought to destroy them. But they did not take plunder. They didn't make themselves wealthier from what happened. When the children of Israel and Judah had clashes at some point and fought themselves, the children of Israel defeated those from the side of Judah one of those times and took captives. Captives are plundered too, made slaves of them. But God raised a prophet from amongst them, and the Spirit of God came on him and said, what are you doing? Send them back before you get into trouble. And they clothed them, clothed those that were naked, gave them food, and sent them back. There are battles you don't take plunder from, there are things you don't gain from. You don't need to make gain. But there are battles where you're meant to make gain. Many of the battles against external enemies ought to bring advantage to us when we are done. Spiritual advantage primarily, but it manifests physically too. When we fight properly, we gain. So you may fight laziness. What will you gain? A stronger spiritual life. You have more capacity to study God's word and pray. You have clearer eyes. So you might get some device that's like, gives you the ability to see more clearly. That is plunder from the battle you fought. Every time we go to certain battles, we ought to come back with something. To come back with a more vibrant walk with God. To come back with more grace. Come back with alertness. To come back with boldness. To go and come back with more patience. Every time the enemy comes against us and we fight back, and come back with more kindness, more love in our lives, more purity, more gentleness. What people call expansion, when you hear that your troubles ought to expand you, those are the spoils of war. That's the plunder. So there's good plunder. I mean, it can even be money, which is the ability to be more kind. You can finish a battle, you come away, and there's actually lots of finances coming in, provision coming. That too is the will of God. Anything that helps you build a temple is plunder. The Bible tells you that David stored up a great amount of silver, gold, precious stones, bronze, iron, and more for the temple. He left it behind for Solomon to use. Those were the spoils of war. Anything that helps strengthen the body of Christ, the people of God, makes them stronger and have more capacity, contributes to building the house. So if I'm more patient, I can be more patient with the children of God that are the building materials for the house of the Lord. And I can endure and shape them longer. If I don't have enough patience, I'll throw them away. I'll discard certain parts that were needed to build a house because of their, possibly their childishness or their selfishness or their generally offensive behavior. But if I acquired spoils from previous wars, I'll have the material to use to keep working on this material for the house of God. So we have to acquire spoil. Some people go through battles and they don't acquire anything. They walk away the way they arrived at the beginning. That's a terrible thing. You shouldn't go through battles and come back empty-handed. Especially when you fight your brother, the children of Israel and the children of Judah. You shouldn't want to come back with any gain if there's a clash between you and the spiritual sibling. But if there's a clash between you and things and those who hate the Lord, it should be benefit for the kingdom of God. So, the Lord says he will enter into judgment with the elders of his people and his princes. Why? Because you've eaten up the vineyard, the plunder of the poor is in your houses. You shouldn't be in their houses. You don't plunder the poor. Proverbs 20:16 says that he that oppresses the poor will be poor. Will definitely be poor. Do you know why they oppress the poor? Still in that verse. He that oppresses the poor and he who gives to the rich will be poor. They take from the poor and give the rich. Like some reverse Robin Hood. Instead of taking from the rich and giving to the poor, you take from the poor and give to the rich. Take from the poor and go to a papa who's a billionaire and give and pass up millions upward from the poor to the rich. It's called plunder. And he said he'll enter into judgment with the elders of his people. It's iniquity. Shouldn't go that way. Should go the other way. And God calls it crushing of his people. He said, what do you mean by crushing my people and grinding the faces of the poor? That's what the Lord calls it. It's obvious he detests it. Obvious. He has great offense from these actions. People are struggling to earn a living. The rich should not get richer and the poor get poorer. It's against the will of God. The poor should get richer. The Bible says that if when the children of Israel come into the land, except when the Lord has blessed them and there will be no more poor in the land. Have you come across that expression before? The Lord wanted to bless them so much that they will have no more poor people. That will happen in the future. It can't happen in this age, obviously. But for now, it's in the heart of God that it should be so. He did not want there to always be poor people. He wanted there to be rich, not so rich. Deuteronomy 15 verse 4 says, however, there should not be any poor among you, for the Lord will surely bless you in the land that he is giving you as an inheritance, if you carefully obey him by keeping all these commandments that I am giving you today. For the Lord your God will bless you just as he has promised. You will lend to many nations, but will not borrow from any. And you will rule over many nations, but they will not rule over you. Did you just hear that? By the way, if you want laws on, you go to Deuteronomy 15 later and look at what God thinks about the movement of finances in his body. How many of you have heard this thing read before? It ought to be a very popular thing. Well, why is it not? After all, much of the body of Christ is talking about making money. Why isn't it popular? Among the reasons it's not popular, even though it's being said that everybody ought to be rich, but scripture, there it is in scripture. The reason it's not popular is that there's a condition. The condition is that if you carefully obey all these commandments, there will not be any poor among you. For the Lord will surely bless you in the land he's giving you as inheritance. Part of this is prophecy, so it will come to pass. But in the present, we could have started experiencing the powers of the age to come if people were obedient. Towards the end of the meeting yesterday, I spoke on some of this. Let me show it to you in the next verse. If a fellow Israelite, verse 7, if a fellow Israelite from one of your villages in the land that the Lord your God is giving you should be poor. At the top, you know, before I read that, it talks about exacting payment from a foreigner, but whatever your fellow Israelite owes you, you must remit. In verse 2, he said, this is the nature. Let me read from verse 1 for you. At the end of every 7 years, you must declare a cancellation of debt. This is the nature of the cancellation. Everyone listen here to the heart of God. Yesterday we talked about do good unto all men, especially those of the household of faith. Hear God's heart and how God thinks. This is the nature of the cancellation. Every 7 years, Sabbath year, every creditor must remit what he has loaned to another person. He must not force payment from his fellow Israelites, for it is to be recognized as the Lord's cancellation of debts. Every 7 years, they were supposed to turn to their brethren who owed them money and say, forget it. Ah, what about that guy that was owing you 1.2 million? Forget it. It's the seventh year. It's the Lord's cancellation. The Lord has overruled my indebtedness and canceled it. You know, the children of Israel didn't obey this. It's one of the major reasons they went into captivity in Babylon. Sorry, you don't just appear and disappear in Babylon. You disobey God into Babylon. The Babylonian condition is a result of disobedience. So them being sold off to Babylon does not mean that we now will come and be dragged off to Cameroon or Niger Republic. No, you'll be right where you are and going to Babylon. You'll disobey God's word. Where people disobey God's words, they'll end up in Babylon. In today's world, it don't have to be physical. All that thing we described about Babylon about 3 days ago is a result, it's a fruit of disobedience in other areas. When you read the book of Nehemiah, you see Nehemiah tearing his clothes and mourning and saying, this is why God sent us into captivity. Because the people came back from captivity being dumb and daft, like many people who can do the same thing and never understand why they are suffering. They came back and continued doing the same thing. And they are doing the same thing made Nehemiah want to tear out his hair. And he told them, is this not why we went into captivity? In today's language, don't you guys have any understanding at all? You must free your brother. You can't sell them for debt. You must forgive from the heart. Today's language of debt is sin. You can't hold your brother bound because of the sin he has sinned against you. You must free him because sin is debt. Forgive us our sins or our debts as we forgive our debtors or those who sin against us. Is that the Lord's prayer for you? Between the books of Matthew and Luke, it's rendered in those two different ways. Debt or sin. So debt and sin are synonymous. Now the Bible says this. You may exact payment from a foreigner, but whatever your fellow Israelite owes you, you must remit. You must forgive the one by your brother. Remember, you have to do good to all men, especially your fellow Israelites. Especially. You're supposed to treat your spiritual brethren differently from others. Now, you could forgive everyone their debt in that matter. Should I give you a New Testament application of this? The thing about how you may hold it, you may demand it from a non-Israelite, a foreigner, but your brother, you must not. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. What does it talk about? I don't think it's worth opening. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 that if your brother owed you, that you dare not go before the unbelievers to the court of unbelievers. It says you should not. It implies that there can be situations where two believers have an issue. It is better you suffer loss than go before unbelievers. But you could take someone that owes you, that is a business person, he's not a brother, you're not. I know it's really hard now since people are in different church groups, and a believer is not necessarily a believer because he calls himself a believer. But once you can identify that it's a real brother, especially if you worship together, just like we here, the person is a child of God, not someone that calls himself a Christian, because everybody around here calls themselves Christian. It's saying, it's better you cancel the debt. Let them owe you. And forget it. Give it to God. But to demand it to the extent of going before another, let me read it quickly. When any of you has a legal dispute with another, does he dare go to court before the unrighteous rather than before the saints? Doesn't mean you can't settle the matter, but you do it before fellow Christians. You bring the matter before your fellow church members. You don't go to, the Bible calls him the unrighteous. Or do you not know that the saints will judge the world? In other words, give some practice to your brethren, because the day is coming, they are going to be judging the world. And did you see that Paul said, or do you not know? In other words, you should know. Like, how didn't you know? Can I ask a question? How were we supposed to know? Which scripture provided that the saints were going to judge the world? Where? Which scripture? Anywhere? Which story? Matthew 19, Jesus said, all those who give up everything to follow me, that when he comes, he's going to set up his throne and set up thrones. Now, where else do you find that? Old Testament. Daniel 7. Daniel 7. He said, I saw a throne and thrones. And judgment was given in favor of the saints. And the dominion, he began to count, was given to the saints. After listing that other kingdoms were to rule, now said that the saints of God were now appointed to rule. It's clear that judgment will be given in favor. The saints will be the ones granted the authority. So Paul is kind of surprised. Like, you Corinthians, don't you understand that the saints will judge the world? Because till today, I've almost never heard anyone preach it, that the saints are going to judge the world. And you're like, what? What about the world? The saints are going to judge the world. The holy ones. The Bible might say it that way. The saints are the holy ones. The ones who live a holy life and live for the Lord, set apart from, will judge the world. You know, right now I ought to be a magistrate, a judge, or at least, at the very least, in ADR, alternative dispute resolution. I ought to be one of that. Definitely, I would have been one. I had it offered on a platter of gold. So I would be judging matters, determining issues, giving declaration, signing it, the DRO, dispute resolution office, the bench, and they say, you know, decides dispute. I ought to, as a person, have followed any normal trail, but I want to do bigger business than that. That's kind of like, I weighed the career options. Like, this one, how many matters might you sit over, and what are your powers of enforcement? You can finish giving your counsel, you can give your judgments, whatever you call it, and it can go out of your hands in a higher court. Yes? You've done your part, you're like, well, I hear they freed him in the higher court too. So let's say you sit in a lower court, the magistrate court, or a customary court, or a high court, and the appeal is no more in your hands. And in the higher court, in the court of appeal, the judgment is reversed and granted in favor of the other side. And you really believe what you determined was right. That up there is granted against you either rightly or wrongly. Maybe the person gives a bribe. You cannot go and knock the head of the appellate justices. You can't. You can't do anything about it. You can't go and appeal. You can't get involved. It's out of your hands. Or let's say you're even in the court of appeal and it goes to the Supreme Court and you don't sit among the justices there. There's nothing you can do about it. They can reverse it. Strange people have escaped in the Supreme Court of Nigeria. Another court. But how many of you know that in the courts of the future, in the age to come, when the Lord appoints us, that we will not just have powers to declare judgments, we will probably have powers to enforce them. Powers of enforcement. Have you not heard that the Lord is our judge, the Lord is our king, the Lord is our lawgiver, he will save us. I believe in the age to come, the judges will have the powers of enforcement. So, this career path is of much more interest to me. It would be nice to have enough power to even speak words, and your words are executed. The words have power. The Bible says where the word of a king is, there is power. I prefer that. And this is a real career option. It's available to the poor, to the lowly of heart, to all sorts. It's available. Question is if you want it desperately enough. If you do, you'll have to obey all he commands. Obedience to all he commands is the key. Obedience to all he commands is the key. You can't disobey him and get there. You can't go to school for this one. At least not human institutions. You'll need to do spiritual institutions together. In case you didn't get verse 2 properly, let's finish it. Or do you not know that the saints will judge the world? And if the world is to be judged by you, are you not competent to settle trivial suits? Are you not competent to settle trivial suits? There are suits, matters, cases that exist in the body of Christ. Can you see that provision was made for there to be cases in the body of Christ? It's nothing like, well, we thought we'd live happily ever after and there'd never be any challenge. Are you serious? There will be issues in the body of Christ. The body of Christ, it has not yet been perfected. There will be elders, there will be leaders in the body to settle issues, because there will be issues. We are not yet perfected. We still have babies. Have you been in a house of children and seen them show up to report one thing after another? 1 Corinthians 3 tells you, three chapters from where we are, said, I am not able to talk to you like adults, but as babies. Why will I not call you babies when there's strife and all sorts of issues among you? So we have to acknowledge and agree that we'll have issues. You should never act like I'm too embarrassed. I can't report it. Because we ought not to have issues. Really, you mean you're perfectly mature? There will be issues. And when there are issues, there's a protocol to handling it. And you must follow the protocol. Every time you disobey the protocol of the kingdom of heaven, then you show up and say, I am a citizen of heaven. And the guards of heaven go like, city call. Citizenry. How can you be a citizen claiming the benefits of the kingdom of God and you don't obey the rules? Can citizens lose privileges? There are rights and there are privileges of every kingdom, right? Yes. Every nation has rights and privileges. The Romans had theirs. Different cultures have. Oh, you are not a foreigner. We just read about one of their benefits of being an Israelite according under the law of God. What's that? Every 7th year, all your debts are meant to be canceled. It didn't apply to foreigners. That was one of the benefits that was supposed to, even though I've repeated, they did not obey. They disobeyed it over and over again. Over and over again, they disobeyed it. Hundreds and hundreds of years. Do you not know that we will judge angels? That's what he added. Not just the world. Angels too. Why not ordinary matters? This was Paul's question. This is what the Holy Spirit asked. So if you can't judge simple matters, how are you going to do judging the whole world? How are you going to do with angels? Now, everybody here has a clue of what I'm saying here. Is there any new person looking around? I think everyone has heard these things before, one way or the other. That there's going to be authority given to the saints. Maybe I should have read Daniel 7 a tiny bit. Then I want to comment on the prophetic word. Daniel chapter 7 says, in verse, wow, it hits right on what we saw yesterday. This career path is a good one. Real options, eternal careers or temporary ones, earthly careers or heavenly ones. Real options with their own peculiar career risks. Real options. Real applicants. Real. Many called, few chosen. Fact. Short list, very short. The short list. That's why it's called a short list. It's a list that is short. Were you shortlisted, people will kill to have a scholarship. Will break laws of God to get a scholarship. There's a short list for eternal occupations. It would be very wise. I'm a recruiting officer to announce that there are openings. There are openings. Let me read for you. So nothing compares to the promise you have in it. Daniel chapter 7, verse 20. It's not the first time. I also wanted to know the meaning of the 10 horns on its head and of that other horn which came up and before which 3 others fell. This was the horn that had eyes and a mouth speaking arrogant things, whose appearance was more formidable than the others. While I was watching, the horn began to wage war against the holy ones or the saints of God, and was defeating them. This is in your scripture. Was defeating them. Your Bible might say, and prevailed against them. Waged war and prevailed. Commented on it yesterday. He was waging war against the holy ones and defeating them. Now, is this physical? The physical deaths occurred. But is that the real war that was won against the holy ones? Do you think? What do you think? What was the real war that was won? What is Satan? The father of lies, right? He waged war against the saints of God and won. Lies became official. We discussed some of them. Seductions, all sorts of wrong practices overwhelmed the body of Christ. Let me tell you, you think me talking about hell is some big deal. I know it's a big deal. It's a mega deal. But before this show is over, you will hear many more shocking things. You've heard quite a bit in the last couple of years, for as long as you've been here. You hear so many more things that were never rooted in God. Yesterday, we talked about God's overall plan, talked about what Jesus came to do, talked about what the final covenant, the Melchizedek priesthood is about. We talked about the ministry of reconciliation. That's very different from what is taught. Except you didn't hear, it didn't sink in. It's very different from what we've grown up with. It's very different. How did it come to be the norm accepted in the body? Because he waged war against the holy ones and prevailed. There were people that were never part of the Roman church. They opposed it on every front. They went and lived in the mountains. All sorts of groups. They never agreed. People that had learned from the apostles themselves, the disciples of the apostles, they never submitted to those systems. They didn't have anything to do. In case you don't know, there are parts of the world that were never under the Roman church, even though she had such a wide reach. Have you heard of the Greek Orthodox? They are different. They are not under. They have their own. Forgotten what they call them. Seen them with their straight black hats. Not straight exactly. Kind of wide at the top. In Russia, you see, Constantinople was the base for that. That's a bit different from Rome. they stuck the event of the Greek Orthodox Church. That's they kind of evolved differently. Latin ruled this other side. This other side, Greek, Greece. But they were attacked. They fought wars, you know, there was trouble. They scattered. Things happened. Scrolls, they had a lot of the Greek copies of things. Things went differently, but there have been parts that have never been under the Pope, ever. Now, I'm not even referring to them because they were still very different. They were still very, the Coptic churches, they're still quite different. Kind of took care of the East, and these guys were in the West. And this side covered all of, you know, Europe, you know, and these other parts. But definitely, without any doubt, the Roman Church dominated what is known or was known as the modern world, the more civilized world, the Western world. The Eastern Church ran differently. I'm not referring to either of them. I'm referring to the insignificance, the small ones, the ones that would go just separate from everyone. Try to practice loving God quietly, following the traditions of the apostles. They were more or less snuffed as if they didn't exist. You would think when they say, there was only one church, the Roman Catholic Church, that truly, that no, God has never left himself without a witness. They are always there. There's always someone somewhere obeying the truth, following the truth, with copies of scripture hidden somewhere, treating like the highest treasure, while they stopped all the rest in all these wide areas from even reading the Bible. There'll be these other groups walking in and obeying God, following his command, doing his will. But they'd have to hide, they'd disappear, they were just different. And these ones went after everyone and anyone. They wanted everyone. So they fought against the holy ones, the ones who kept themselves separated. These ones did not stay separated. The beast and its kings, all of them that joined in and supported the beast with seven heads and the woman that sat on her. They did not stay separated. They fused directly. They married into the political systems. And of course, with the political comes the economic systems. They merged. They became one thing. That's why it's the woman that is a harlot. Because she's the one that shouldn't be there. If we had just read a bit above in Daniel 7, you know it said that these four beasts are four kings which arise, and other places four nations. We've talked about that. Babylon, Medo-Persia, Greece, and Rome. They all came in their time, but all of them exist in some form. The Bible talked about taking away their power for a time, but not completely. All of their manifestations still exist. God, remember, does the whole representative thing. He allows these things to happen. Their spirits at work, their matters afoot. There have been old spirits. We saw yesterday the abyss was open and things were coming out. The Bible says the dark places of the earth are full of cruelty. There are places and things. There are concepts that our tiny young minds cannot understand. The church, we are not young, but I guess we are significantly naive. It is necessary that we touch on these things and mention them. It's because in the days ahead, increasingly, we will be exposed to things beyond us. Things that are just, I said yesterday, if Enoch was seeing stuff that we don't even talk about now, and he was seeing it as the seventh man from Adam, what do you think the last day church will see? You think we will know less than Enoch? It's not allowed. It's against the law of progress. You don't move backwards. The path of the righteous shines brighter and brighter till the perfect day. So we are going to have to go forward. You know, that thing is coming on me. Some of you are looking at it. Some of you are going to go to places. If they told you, you walk away from God now, you'll be taken to places in the spirit that you're going to go like, huh? That's why I practice keeping quiet now and proper communication. You have to know who you talk to, when. Don't be lousy. I am assuring you it will happen. You'll be taken on journeys that your mind cannot believe. That's why you must be established in the scriptures very deeply. I wish we had 70 days nonstop from morning till night. Why don't we have? We don't have enough power yet to control time, but we'll get there. Don't worry. When the time comes here, we have power to say, days, stop, sun, stop, moon, stop. And we'll compress 70 days. And your whole family and everybody will be moving in slow motion. And what is 30 days for us will be for them 1 hour. Then we can do anything. But you see that power, which only Dr. Xavier has, we don't have yet. I watch X-Men. Okay. I say these things, I feel old. He must have been around the year 2000 and something. Very early. And he can stop everyone and they freeze. And he goes on doing what he wants and then they continue. Now that power, when we get that power, we'll stop everything and have Bible school for 1 month. And then continue. Yes, Lord. We'll be taken to places in the spirit that are... Now, don't think we don't have people that have been to all sorts of places right now. They are there. People that walk and run and engage in all sorts of places. And I don't mean physical dimensions, I mean spiritual dimension. But what I'm referring to is because these dimensions have a direct reflection on us. These are where things are determined. Dark places of the earth are full of cruelty. So what if God says, come, let me show you the dark places of the earth. Come, let me show you one of them. They are there. They are places from where things issue out. Things come out. Things are determined. Gates of hell are opened. Things flood into the earth. And it manifests in all sorts of new and strange things. And you say, did you hear what is happening? Someone sits at home and comes up with an evil idea. And you call it, hey, this guy, this Karl Marx came up with this evil idea. What do you mean by Karl Marx? It's just the human agent through which a determination was brought forth. It comes to them like floods of thought. They put it down. It gains traction. They try to push it here and there. And God touches one Christian somewhere, one old woman or one young man somewhere. Pray. He doesn't even know why he's praying. He just finds himself groaning. And he prays. That's why the devil can stop people believing in tongues, praying the spirit. If he can stop that en masse, then nobody is open to pray in the spirit, right? Then God touches someone to pray, but this guy is not baptized in the Holy Ghost because he doesn't believe in such things. They passed away, yes? Now this Karl Marxi fellow has received his download that's going to pour communism in all its horrible manifestation that will take away tens of millions of lives from every nation where it's practiced. It's coming, and God would have stirred someone here. Pray. And he doesn't know what he's to pray about. He just knows he's to pray. But since he doesn't know, and he's not baptized in the Holy Ghost, so he goes, God, whatever is happening, if it is my mother that is at risk, protect her. Oh, God, protect my mother. And what else could make me so afraid? Okay, maybe it's my father. God, protect. Oh, God. He can only speak English, remember? Maybe he could pray in the spirit. He would go, Roko Shundo Brado Shuketelahanda, and would be saying the spirit, right now, Father, let your power come upon Karl Marx. Let that plan he has today to present it to those group of three people. Let it fail. He would be calling names without knowing it because he's praying in the spirit and the spirit will make intercession according to the will of God. Romans 8:26. Because he knows your weaknesses that you don't know how to pray. So God gave this gift, this tool, a new language, a heavenly language. That only God hears and understands. And he would have reversed this fellow's plan. And that day, one of the people he was to meet would be taken ill with a running stomach. The other one would break his leg on the way. What's a broken leg in the light of the millions, tens of millions of people that would die due to his write-up? What's a broken leg? Even if the person died, what is one death compared to tens of millions? Stalin is estimated to have killed about 30 million of his fellow Russians. Not talking about any other engagement. Fellow Russians. How many did Mao kill? Saddam in China. And all the communist countries of this world with all their very terrible cruelties. How many? North Korea. How many Christians died? How much holy blood was shed because of the communist manifesto? An anti-God belief that says that religion is the opium of the people. So, the devil doesn't fight on one front. He goes out. He creates unbelief here. Don't believe this church, this group, this leader in the church. Don't believe in the Holy Spirit. How he attacks the child. The child gets sick. He prays. It doesn't work. The child dies. He now says there's no healing. One thing after another, he attacks the faith. He attacks the word, your belief in what God says. That's always what he attacks. You have no idea of how he's going to succeed. You don't know his plan. He's the one that stands at the strategy table in his command center and draws up these plans, these long-term plans. Let's start with that one. He can see that one is going to be a leader. He has a clue, you know, like he usually is permitted to have. He can see that your birth or something. He sees all these things. That's why he comes against those people strongly from early on with all sorts of doubts. He assaults their trust in God using so many things. He knows what can be. So he comes against. He can see that then he has this plan to bring this to pass. He has this plan. He has this plan. He has all these plans. And all we are meant to do, because God does not habitually show us everything, almost never. With our God, you must walk by faith. So he just comes to you in his own command center and tells one person, please, can you be praying every morning for 2 hours? Please now. And his own, it's not by force. You go to another one. Please, can you go around on the streets and share tracts to everybody here? Everyone, everything, something. The devil comes with fear. So you're afraid to do it. You don't want to spread that news. If you had spread it, you would have made this guy, you would have read the tract. And he would not have doubted in the gift of different languages. And he would have prayed in the spirit. He would have reversed this guy. This guy would have published his communist manifesto. Or he would have tried to and he would be born. Or opposition would arise. People would arise and say, what rubbish is this? Man, you should be locked up. If you publish this nonsense anymore, we will lock you up. He could have used any method and stopped that. Now he may pop up again 50 or 100 years later. But for then, time would have been bought. Do you understand? These are the things that have been going on behind the scenes for millennia. But I'm saying that some of you will be taken to the places where these things are born. Some you'll be shown the past. Some you'll be shown the present. Some of you will be shown the future. You'll be shown where things are cooked. We are going to post it. It's being slightly edited. It's quite long. It's going to be posted on the group. One of our people was grabbed up some days ago and some principalities were discussing us. Now, she was hidden, so they couldn't see her. She knew they couldn't see her at all. It was covered up like that. And they were discussing us and discussing how, you know, you read it. Make sure you read it. They're discussing how they are coming. Battles we have fought and won. Pride, envy, discord, that's anger, all these issues. All the things, it's not that we haven't talked about it, things that we announced. Oh, we heard this one, or we came, we announced, we prayed, we got ready, we preached about it, and it came, and we came out, we survived, you know, maybe a few wounds here and there, but generally. Said that, you know what they said? The crux of the matter, that they are going to come again and again and again. That's what the other one was telling everyone. That they're going to keep hitting till, you know, another one of the leaders had gotten some time ago, fighting a battle, fighting, and winning. I'm feeling very happy. Whew, I'm flinging her sword away. And like, and she got this talking to, like, how dare you? How dare you throw your sword away? Why would you throw your sword away? Because you won the battle. You mean you won't come again? Because she threw her sword away after winning. So it agrees with this. From some revelation from about 29th of last month. Even though I just saw it. It just came yesterday or today. They said they are going to keep coming. So there's this attitude of, we've won that battle. Mention some specifics. Lust, anger, fear. That one we've been hearing. Depression showed up. Depression showed up and they told it and came and reported what it has been achieving so far. And in the last 4 or 5 years, I've heard stories what depression has been doing to some of our people far, close and far. I mean, I was hearing some yesterday. And they told you, go and continue, go and consolidate, go back to the people and establish it. That is, go and, you know how you put nails in something and screw it in well. In the last few days, I had heard stories from our people, far and wide, here and there, being depressed, people wondering if God is real. People going, wanting to go back, even fast, going back, beginning to, all that stuff, people wondering what, how. I don't mean just the ones that are weak. I mean strong things, strong people going like, what's the, and some of you, you felt it. Let me see. You felt like, what's it? Can I go? Look at those hands. Now that you are the ones here that are still coming around, how much more the ones that have been at home for 5 months? And she heard this, they are not demons, just small things, they are principalities, big guys. They were up in the heavens. They were discussing. It had to do with this change of season thing and all that. It's clear. These things I've told you for a long time. These things are planned, determined, executed. People are assigned. Demons are assigned. Go and walk. They come with the intention of walking. Then they said they are going to bring back, they're discussing it. And people on earth were responding without even knowing. In different places, people were saying the same things. She could hear on earth. And people were saying the same thing. They are not in the same place at all, but they're saying the same things, because the same spiritual influences up there are pushing buttons. Now you've been told. I mean, some of the stuff I've said in the last things like you will especially be in trouble because you were told long before. Like, this whole thing about I'm ignorant. I was saying this yesterday. I didn't read that thing to you some hours ago. That because you've been told. So the beating you can expect is not of this world. You will not be able to say, I didn't know. I just felt, you didn't just feel anything. You were told. You know the advantages we have as children of God. God is God of everything. Do you remember just yesterday we were talking about how God is the one that gave those kings one mind to team up? And that's part of what that person experienced. That someone was just saying that the advantage we have as Christians is that Satan has a clue of what God is up to because it's in the spirit realm, right? But it can be limited. But God has a clue of everything Satan is up to. But Satan doesn't know everything God is up to. Yes? Please, that was a very bad place to keep quiet. You almost made me think you are Satan worshippers. What is that? You think Satan knows everything God is up to? Abba! Satan does not know everything God is up to. Who permit him? He never knows. Did he know that be the whole Job thing, that God wanted to produce a book? Do you know how many people have been helped by the book? Do you know what the reason Satan gets so angry is? God does all these things with multiple levels of plans. God's own plan is not of this. God's plan is, maybe borrow how we talk. It's at the most wicked plans. You know, something is wicked. You ever hear the expression wicked? So you are playing this your chess and you're moving all over and God is like acting like, do you remember that? He's 100% confident. That's how I think of God. Very dangerous. Now, if you think of God like that, it will help you. If you have any funny mindset that, maybe the devil is defeating God a little. You should be flogged with a stick. There's nothing like Rick Jordan like saying, God is not sitting in heaven wringing his hands. Oh, what will I do? Satan is, Michael, Gabriel, Jesus, what do we do? There's nothing like that happening anywhere. The Most High is in charge. He has always been. I told you, I know it's painful to hear, but Satan is his boy. You don't go and fight your God. How? How are you going to fight your God? His wisdom. Wait, where does God draw his wisdom from? A book. A book he read. If he thinks it, it can happen. If he says it, it's over. If he says, no more Satan, it stops being a Satan. Any wisdom the devil has, he got it from him. So which playbook are you using to fight the Most High? The Bible says there's no counsel. There's no strategy. There's nothing against God. Your strategy goes round like a boomerang and works in advantage, in his advantage. Creation is on his side. So how are you going to win something who has creation on his side? The particles of air are on his side. If they vex too much, it looks like you win a God. They'll all run away and you have nothing to breathe. So how do you win? It is impossible to succeed against the Lord. Settle that in your mind and be wise. Do what I do. Choose the winning side. Do you understand? Hey, why is, he does look. Say, excuse me. You know all things, yes? Who is going to win? When he looks at you with one funny eye, like, just say, I'm sorry, sir. Then go behind him and stand. Over. Don't go and be thinking, hey, should I join? Should I? What are you thinking of? Something that has been rigged before the world began. So, she saw and all these things. We are going to post it. You read it. Maybe we'll print out some copies for those that are not online. Hey, by tomorrow, you should get it. So make sure you remember to ask. Make sure we print it before. How many people need a printout? And I'm only referring to those that are not on WhatsApp. So if you're on WhatsApp, don't bother. Put down your hand. If they refuse to sell data to you, report to me. Come and tell me. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. So I've seen about 600. You print out 10. I'm not even referring to people that are around people with WhatsApp. Collect their phones and read. This is long. Okay, if you make 10 copies, that'll be fine. To fit a page. Small font. I want you to read it. Now, what we just got is called intelligence in warfare. Do you understand? We've just been given... Do you remember all that spy stuff? We just got spy information. How many of you are enjoying this war the longer you live? This is, oh God, you know, I've not been there read anything. What thing have been there read, sir? Okun and the rat. What do you used to read? Who used to read espionage? I want to know people that I would like to be friends with. Espionage, if you don't know what the word means, then you didn't read it, so don't bother. Don't bother, don't say explain. Mm-mm. If you don't know, then you did not read. So we have three of us here, but that's sufficient. That's a witness. You want me to say detective novels? It's not the same. Espionage is spy novels about spies. Huh? You saw the book. They saw it. They saw someone holding it. If you read spy novels, again, it's too late now, so don't bother. But you know, I used to like, I told you I read one about 5 years ago again, or it. I think it was by Freddie Forsyth. Icon. Was it, anyone read Icon? You read Icon, right? don't you love that novel? I mean, the guy went into the land and destabilized the whole country. It was good. He was a good guy. But how he did it so well, it's only in a novel that you can be that effective. In real life, it's not possible. It was like magic. He went in and did one bad guy went like Hitler wanted to enter and he messed up everything, sabotaged everything, like a one-man army. I'm not even sure he even shot a gun once. Okay, once at the end. No fighting, just his head, turned everything upside down and destroyed all the plans of a wicked person. Now, espionage, the whole concept of finding out what will happen, finding out what the enemy is up to, that's what God just did for, is doing. That's what he does for us. And I was informing you ahead of that. I've told you these things before, but it's good to know that you won't just be taken to heaven and glorious places. You won't just peek in on the councils of heaven, the sweet, nice meetings. You'll also be let into the deep, dark meetings. You have to hear. We need to know it. It's a war. You have to. So don't go, please, shrieking and coming out of the revelation. If you do it, me and you will have words. What happened? I had this terrible thing. But as they just, so I was now entering. Things were dark. I saw bad things. So I just woke up. Go back now. Find a room. Push inside. Lock the door. Don't come out till you hear what happened. Go back. What kind of bad spy are you? If the Lord has given you access, and that's the calling of some of us. Everybody has a job. Remember the day we discussed war? Battles, different job, different kinds of assignments. Talked about spies a lot. I think November was towards the end, November. If you didn't hear it, go and listen to it, please. There are those that go straight to war and fight directly with the word of God. You engage, you evangelize directly. You are at the forefront. Then there are spies. They go alone, one here, two, three, you know, in secret. You go on your knees. God drags you away using heavenly transport. You know all those James Bond cars that enter water and go under? How many of you have seen James Bond with an army before? No, that's not a crowd job. You don't draw attention to yourself. You sneak in. You're shown. You come back. That's why your practice in recording is so important. And your knowledge of words. Long ago, I used to stress it. I don't know if I stressed it enough with the rest of you. I did. But I stressed it more in smaller groups with the leaders. You have to learn to express yourself. The reason you may have to go and read a few fairy tales. If you and look up some pictures and know how to describe things. You know, people who see things, they come to me and tell me, you know, Ibim is seeing Medusa, you know, I mean, she's a gorgon, you know, snakes for hair, you know, tail and all those things. And they'll just be struggling to talk. Margaret used to see all sorts of things all the time. Amaka, and I'll ask them, I'll have to be describing. Yes, I'll be giving them words. Oh, that's a griffin. Oh, this is that. Because you don't know that there are things like that. And you're not the first person to see them. They've been known for thousands of years. They are considered mythological creatures. And they are not. They are from other dimensions, the spirit dimension, other dimensions. And they are real entities. And they have certain characteristics. The face of an eagle and the tail of an eagle, a big, and the paws of a lion, and the this, and the that. They are all these things. You see them, you go like, yeah, I don't even know what I said. I just saw one shapeless thing. Okay, so, and you go on. We just lost half of the revelation because of your laziness and lack of education. I am really serious. Can you imagine a spy that can't come back and describe that the person we are to look out for, the agent they have planted, is 5'9", with gray eyes, and this, and that, and that. And there's no description. You can't. You just say he's a man. And they say, how? What do we need to watch out for? I don't know. It's just... a man. You can't say that. You have to be able to describe what he looks like. Are we going to now stop every man? By the time the man sees that they are stopping every man, won't he run away? But because of a poor spy who lacks training, who does not have that's why training is required. Are you hearing? That's why you came to this school. So when you're given assignments, go and do them. To learn language, go and look up certain things. Go and learn. Now, yours will not be physical. Yours will be spiritual language. You will have to read here and there from those that have had experiences like this before. Other prophetic people that have gone ahead. And other bits and pieces. You have to be a prophetically led person. What I mean is, you have to have the capacity. I know how much that works in my own life. How much more for those of you that are called to very high level prophetic ministry. I know how God leads me to all sorts of things. I pass. I stand and something says stop by the bookshelf and I stop. I take a step back. I stand there sometimes. You see me just standing. Then you see me go like this. Then I pull out one book. And then I do like this, and I open a certain page. I read 5 lines. I close and drop. That's all. You see, come to my bedside. You see all sorts of books that I haven't read more than the 3 lines I read, because that's all I needed. I come, the words of God are coming. Different things are coming. I have the exact info I needed, because I have learned to listen to the leading of the Spirit. I walk past, I see a book, I'm with someone, I say, can I see that book? I pass, I see someone with a book, you're holding something, and I stop. Like yesterday or day first, I was telling you how I finished speaking about the woman with the blood and all that, and I opened my laptop. I don't know when I downloaded that video, maybe 1 year ago or two. I've never opened it, nothing. And for no reason, I just go to messages, videos, scroll, not the folders, but the bottom where there are all sorts of bric-a-brac, you know, just miscellaneous videos. And I just click on one, and there's a video of the thing I had just finished sharing. The woman clothed with the sun, with the 12 stars, you know, and they've acted it out in some short clips and all this and all that. And I'm seeing stuff. I'm like, wow. How are you going to get there? If you walk around with a set mind, always, if you don't know how to hear the birds talk or the trees, if you haven't learned to walk past something on the road, and I don't know how to say, I think it's called walking in the Spirit. Just being in the Spirit. You know, your mind is always open to a lesson. And the Holy Spirit usually says these things like whispers. I'm sometimes embarrassed to tell, you know, but again, I've always been open because I know people need to learn. I come into this place, I'm walking between there and here, and I'm hearing this sound. Na 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 na. Na 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 na. I'm wondering what on earth. That's not a Christian song, I am sure. And I sit there and I'm thinking, I'm just hearing the first part. I didn't even get to that part. Na 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 na. I'm like, what was the other part of the sound? And before I got this, na 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 na. Then I'm like, is it Mandators? A song I used to hear in the 80s or the 90s. Okay. Okay, Rat Race. Oh, yeah. So I go online, I tap in Rat Race lyrics. And then I'm seeing there, you know what it said? The same thing God had been prompting me earlier on in the day. But why on earth? Because I don't know any of the wordings from that song apart from Rat Race styling. And that's all. Some of most of you don't know it at all. One or two, you're too young to know the Mandators. A reggae group from some guy from here. And inside there, and he's talking about how the rich get richer and the poor get poorer. That's what he's talking about in that song. I had no idea. There's no way I can know the wordings of that song now. And then I go to the scriptures and I'm saying, okay, maybe that's stuff that God has been pressing me about, you know, and we talked about it yesterday even, about the rich and the poor. And we just read Isaiah 3, Isaiah 2, about robbing the faces of the poor, about plunder being in their houses from the poor, the rich and the poor, and how God wants to bring down the proud. This morning we read that, how the voice of the Lord will cut down the cedars, break the cedars, and we just saw cedars and cows of Bashan. And we are ready this morning doing devotions, not this passage, another passage completely. This, I'm just giving an example of how God can talk and talk and talk. And we must practice hearing, hearing, hearing. Now, maybe for those that see visions more, they don't need too many of those things, because for us, it's a jigsaw puzzle. Many small pieces, we put it together, we put it together, we put it together. You know, it's like a dream. Learn to interpret it. But beyond that, you have to learn to be led by the Spirit. Per time, you say God doesn't talk to you. Are you sure? Day to day utter speech. He does. It is recognizing it. When he speaks in a dream, a vision of the night, when men are asleep on their bed, he says, but they do not hear. We have to learn to hear God. He is talking. Apart from when someone is preaching and speaking directly to things in your life, God is talking a whole lot. And there's this thing about God, like I've talked. If you like, pay attention. If you like, don't. Sometimes. It's that scary part to God. So I'm going to say it one more time. Some of you will be taken on all sorts of trips. You have to learn When God might want to give you the language for something, tell you something, you have to learn so you know how to express it, so you can communicate back to headquarters. You can communicate back to your group, to your commanding officers, and they know what to do with it. Imagine that person. Imagine like laziness, an example. The person gets that information. Now that person is not here. He's not around at all. And that person, I don't think, knows all the things we've been getting. How are people here, people there, people being attacked by depression. Not sin, self. Some, it's not that they fall into any sin. They're just all depressed, all sorts of things happening. And like I'm always saying, many of those things you feel are not you. And you're busy saying, I don't even know why I'm feeling. I've told you, you think of yourself too much. You have to learn to understand what an attack is. Something keeps bouncing against you. You keep saying me, 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 me. Child, everything is you, 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 you. You're being attacked by the devil, devil, devil. Say devil.
Devil.
Yeah, I say devil well. Not devil. Devil is too English. Like devil. Like D-E-V. Devil. Who talks like that? The Yoruba? The devil is attacking you. Can you grow up out of yourself? Everything is you. I don't even know why I'm feeling. I don't even know why I'm still struggling. I'm still struggling with these things. I'm too ashamed of myself. You're not struggling with anything. Arrows are being shot at you. Learn to block it and stop thinking about it. And you know why it's a flaming arrow? It hits. You know why a flaming arrow does when it sticks in something? It burns gradually and sets everything on fire. So something comes, hits you and stays there and keeps. Instead of you're offing it and putting out the fire, you say, I don't know. This lust has come back. I thought I'd overcome it. There's no need now. They should kick you out of the army. But thank God I'm not in charge. How can a bullet hit you and you think you shot yourself? Soldier, it's because you keep, let me tell you the main thing that worries us. We keep thinking as civilians, that is, we keep thinking that we are living a normal life in a, we keep forgetting that it's a battle. That's just the problem. We keep not realizing that it's a battle, that it's a war, that you're under attack, that you have an enemy that's trying to take you out. We keep forgetting. We keep thinking, oh, okay, warfare, everybody, warfare night. Pray, pray. Then normal life. Give me my white shorts, my white shirt. Let's go back to civilian life. No. Your enemy does not stop. Like a roaring lion, he wants to attack all the time. Who to devour? Who to devour? Who to devour? And he comes and sees you. Not on the watch. Not alert. Not up and doing.